And that means there is no reason we can possibly know why God chooses to save this one rather than that one. When you press Augustine on this point and ask, well, but this has got to make sense somehow. What reason would God have to choose one rather than another? Augustine will quote Paul at the end of the letter to Romans, Romans 11, where Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge in God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How inscrutable are his judgments. How unsearchable his ways. Augustine says, when Paul says these words, it's with a shudder of horror. Right? He's looking into the abyss of God's wisdom, and you cannot get to the bottom of it. Right? Somewhere down in the bottom, the depth of God's wisdom, there is a reason. Augustine's convinced there is a reason, but we cannot possibly know it. Because if we did have a reason for why God chose one rather than another, that would be merit. Right? Someone would deserve it, and that's not grace. So, Luther picks up on this, this notion of this horrible depth. And he says, the highest degree of faith is to believe that God is merciful when he saves so few people and he damns so many. Because it's evident that lots of people don't believe in Christ, right? Lots of people have never even heard of Christ, and they never had a chance. It's the highest degree of faith to believe that God is merciful when he saves so few people and damns so many by his own choice, and to believe him righteous when by his own will he makes so many of people necessarily damnable by, for instance, ordaining that Adam would sin and fall and then we would all be born in original sin. Right? It's God's choice that we were born that way. God chose that we would be born in original sin and damnable and unable to save ourselves. So God seems, Luther continues, to delight in the torments of the wretched and to be worthy of hatred rather than love. That is a deep problem, and Luther feels the problem down in the depth of his soul. He admits, he says, admittedly, it gives the greatest possible offense to common sense or natural reason that God, by his own sheer will, would abandon, harden, and damn people as if he enjoyed the sins and the vast and eternal torments of his wretched creatures, whereas he has preached, that is, revealed, the revealed God, as a God of such great mercy and goodness. Right? There seems to be this contradiction between the hidden God, who damns so many people, chooses to damn them, and the revealed God, who promises mercy in Christ. And it's an offense to reason. Notice that contrast between faith, which believes in the revealed God, trusts in his promises, and reason, which is trying to figure this out on its own, and poor reason can make no sense of this whatsoever. So Luther says, you know, go with faith, not reason. And in some places he'll say, faith has to kill reason. Right? Forget reasoning about this. Just believe. It is hard to believe. It's one of the greatest things in faith, is to believe that God is merciful. When you look around in the world, when so many people seem not to be saved, and it doesn't look like God is merciful. Who would not be offended? Luther continues. I myself was offended more than once, and brought to the very depth and abyss of despair. Of course, he thinks that this despair is good for him. It makes him despair of his own works. It's evangelical despair, as he calls it. It's like what happens when the law terrifies your conscience. When you think about predestination, it's like this work of the law, this time of law that I mentioned, where the law is terrifying you and driving you to despair. That's why you really shouldn't get involved too often in this discussion of predestination. And Luther warns you against it. So there's this crucial, let's call it an epistemological issue here, an issue about what you know and how you know it. Right? We can't possibly know why God chooses one rather than another. We cannot possibly know what God's eternal choices are. They're part of the hidden God. Luther will try to sort this issue out at the end of his treatise on the bondage of the will by contrasting three lights, and this is worth looking at in some detail. He speaks of the light of nature, which is reason, and according to reason, well, there must be no God, or else God must be unjust. For if you respect and follow the judgment of human reason, you're bound to say there is no God, or God is unjust, says Luther. Because after all, you look around, innocent people suffer, right? Good people are tortured, wicked people prosper, right? Even the prophets of the Old Testament, Luther says, people like Jeremiah and Job and David in the Psalms, were tempted to regard God as unjust, right? They say so. The prophets of the Bible often worry about the injustice of God, because good people suffer and evil people seem to prosper. But then Luther says, suppose we go on from the light of nature, which is reason, to the light of grace, which is faith and the gospel. Then